thunderstorm. So I'm not sure. I guess we come to the conclusion that I guess it's faith that we're talking about, maybe. Is that what? We believe in God even though we can't see Him. And tonight we're going to talk about seeing God in the thunderstorm. So, yes, we do see God through faith many, many times over and over again. We see God in creation. We see God in other areas of life as well. But, you know, it does kind of come down to the fact of our belief in God. And it's really hard to see God in a thunderstorm if you don't believe in God. Well, obviously, if you don't believe in God, it's hard to see God in anything, wherever you are in life. Now, seeing God in a thunderstorm, I guess we could take this a few different ways, but just trying to remember what was shared with me when I was asked for this. And so I don't know that we're necessarily talking about the aspect of a true thunderstorm as we know it in nature exactly, but we do want to make some comparisons to that and think about maybe our spiritual journey of life a little more and seeing God and what we might think about as thunderstorms in our lives. Now, if you're a human just like I am, I would expect we all face thunderstorms, as it were, in our lives. Nature, we probably all experience that as well as we think about thunderstorms. And tonight we're thinking probably a little bit more of that in our personal lives, maybe, or in our journey of life as we think about the thunderstorms that we might encounter. Now, a thunderstorm, I don't know what you think of when you think of that. I know when I was, you know, maybe your age here or maybe even a little smaller, they were pretty frightful to me, thinking of it in the natural sense or in nature. Thunderstorms. We lived in an older farmhouse, and I remember various times and when we used to get good old-fashioned thunderstorms. It just seems like, and I've said this to my family and on and off throughout the last couple of years, it just don't seem like we quite get them like we used to. Well, maybe we do, and I don't think about it, but what I was going to say is I remember that old farmhouse, sometimes it would give them deep rumbles, and, you know, the windows would chatter a little bit, and it was, this house going to stay together, you know. It made the chills go up and down my back a little bit sometimes. I remember some of those times. And so I don't know what you think of as you think about thunderstorm in the natural sense. You know, lightning, loud noise, powerful with the possibility of destruction. Maybe dangerous, especially when you think about lightning aspect that often accompanies a thunderstorm. I know one of the things I learned kind of is that, you know, sometimes you wondered how close is it? Well, if it would lightning and then how many seconds till you hear the thunder, that gives you an idea how far away it is or how close it is to you. And so if it's pretty quickly together, it's like, it's right here on us. Watch out. Today, I don't mind looking out the window and enjoying some thunderstorms, but, you know, it still runs through our minds. Maybe some of the dangers associated with thunderstorms, speaking, you know, in the natural sense. One of the things that we want to remember as we go through the message tonight, as we want to walk away with, is that God is in control. Now, you can think of all kinds of thunderstorms in your life that you maybe wondered about that thought. Does God really know what's happening in my life and the struggles I'm facing or the encountering, whatever that might be? But yet we know the Word of God, and we believe in God, and we believe His Word, and He is always in control of the universe He created. It's never spinning out of His control. And so that is one fact that we want to remember in our lives. Thinking a little bit, first of all, here about thunderstorms, now shifting toward maybe the using that as an illustration of maybe storms in our lives or thunderstorms. It's as I think about thunderstorms, I think about something out of my control or choice in life. Isn't that the way thunderstorms sort of are? They sometimes pop up rather quickly, unexpectedly. Sometimes we hear them coming, we know it's coming, and it happens. But, you know, really, a thunderstorm in my life, thinking of it outside of the natural realm, is something sort of out of my control, or maybe even out of the choices that I would have rather made instead of what I'm experiencing. Things in our lives, and the first one that kind of came to my mind was death. Sometimes that can be like a thunderstorm to us, as it were, a stormy time in our lives of unsettling us. Now, if we believe in God and our faith is in Him, that's our anchor for that. But death. I've experienced a few different times. I have had a sister that had cancer from birth and passed away at 22-month-old. And so that was a death. It was a stormy time in our family's life. And I remember a lot of time spent in prayer, a lot of searching, a lot of questions of why or what to do and so on and so forth. And sometimes in the storms, you just kind of wonder, where's the answers or where do we find help? I am being blown and tossed around. And just a few of my memories in relation to that, I was right around 12 to 14 there at that time in my life. So storms, death. Recently, one of the more recent ones is my father-in-law, Floyd Horst, passed away here between Christmas and New Year there. And, you know, death, it's a time of separation. It's kind of like a storm somewhat in our lives. And the winds kind of blew and hurt and so on. About 17 years ago, or she would be 17 at this point, we buried a stillborn daughter. You know, another storm in our lives. So death comes to my mind when I think about storms. And how do we see God in all of this? Hopefully we can at least give a few pointers in relation to that. Sometimes accidents come into our lives. Again, things that were out of our control, kind of, or not our choices. And sometimes that even may even cause death. Or not so long ago, here back in January, there was something happened at work, and I took a tumbersault off of a scaffolding unexpectedly and got a gash in my head and had 11 staples in there for 10 days. Wow, I was glad for life. And how did I see God through that little thunderstorm there? That was a quick one, but it was, and I was very blessed with the hand of God of not really being hurt much other than that cut in the head. And so I was thankful for that. But, you know, things just come into our lives. It wasn't my choice, but it happened. Sometimes sickness in relation to our health, or we don't like to hear the stormy word of cancer or those types of things. Sometimes maybe it comes down to a little bit of stormy weather in the brotherhood at times. How do we see God in all of that? We're here and we all say we believe in God, and yet some of the little brotherhood disagreements, sometimes we can we could allow that a little storm to disturb us or anchor us stronger in Jesus Christ. You know, being slandered or being offended or hurt or disease and varices. We could talk about varices tonight, couldn't we? Very, very much so. And the whole COVID-19 aspect of that. Wow, what a stormy time. And where's God in all this? He could have prevented that, right? And all the turmoil of it and relating to it and knowing how to relate to it. And now we got the vaccines on the horizon, and what do we think of that, and so on. And some of that seems a little stormy sometimes, to me anyhow. And how do we relate to all that? How do we see God in all this? Well, maybe God is just giving us a pre-warning for the call of the soon coming rapture. I don't know. But, you know, it's possible in relation to that. But God, I think he's asking for our attention. Political storms of envy, jealousy, pride, position, scams, lies, deceit, anger, fraud. I mean, there's just all kinds of things that kind of can storm our spiritual lives, as it were, that I would kind of consider as kind of a thunderstorm. And either that thunderstorm can make us fearful and afraid and resistant to even seeing God, or it can anchor us in the rock, Jesus Christ. And that's my goal, that we can maybe be moved to that. And a few pointers that we'll share here. One of the questions, you can turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 29. I'd like to start there. One of the maybe thoughts yet is, what is your focus? The storm or God who desires your life and allegiance? And sometimes that might make the difference. So often in our lives, when the kind of a storm comes and we feel we're getting battered on one side, or we're getting battered by the storm, we concentrate on the storm so much that we really miss the lesson. The storm is here to teach us. And so let's not get tied up in just focusing on the storm, but understanding that God allowed the storm for us to be stronger in allegiance to Him. And that's focus on God. And so if we're going to see God in a thunderstorm, we certainly have to look through the wistful winds of the storm and look to the eye of the storm where there's peace. And we'll talk a little more about that. In Jeremiah 29, I thought I would start with this passage here, Old Testament setting somewhat, just make a few thoughts in it. Looking kind of at verse 11, but just before we get to there, this is Jeremiah's letter to the exiles, I believe, that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. If you look at verse 1, it says that there, and Jeremiah had here, there was a remnant, that, or a residue, it says, which I think would kind of give us the idea that not everybody made the captivity journey back to Babylon. Some probably passed away on the way and died along the way, but those are the residue of the elders that were carried away captive, and the priests and the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. So there we find, now to me, that sounds like a pretty stormy time in their lives. Don't you think so? Being carried away captive. Now, I don't know if anyone here ever experienced a storm quite that severe in their lives. Now, I think we all would probably say, I experienced some pretty severe storms in some of the maybe things that we talked about, what a storm could consist of. We probably all face storms, but here this is a pretty tough storm that went on here. Being carried away captive, they left their possessions, their homes, their whatever there, and they were just taken away captive. And some of them didn't even make the journey in the captivity back to Babylon, that it would seem to appear. And then God goes on and He tells them, you know, now you're here carried away and captive. Verse 4, He said to them, you're carried away captive, whom I have caused to carry away from Jerusalem to Babylon. And He says, just go ahead and you build houses, you dwell in them, you plant gardens and eat the fruit thereof, and you continue to prosper in your families and so on. And He says, just go ahead, you're called to live here, right here in this storm. And so just go ahead and live right here for the time being. And He goes on, and then he says, now beware if there's any false prophets that come around or anything like that are here to deceive you. He said, you don't listen to them. He said, I didn't send them. And then in verse 10, He says, for thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. And so probably there was a lot of expectations that were just kind of seemed to vanish away when they were taken away captive. And what a tremendous crack and thunderstorm in their life, as it were. And there they were. And yet God was here to send them and say that He said, you know, you just have peace. I do have thoughts of peace for you, and I am with you, and you continue to live for me here. And I will bring you back to your expectations again. I do not have any thoughts of evil. And so that's something to remember as we think about seeing God in the thunderstorm. Things that God allow into our lives, He is still in control, as we said, and He does not allow them into our lives to destroy us. But He has thoughts of peace for us, is really what He has. And as we keep that in mind, then we're able to see God. First thought I had was, who is God to me? A couple questions maybe as we go throughout the message that we want to try to think about. So the first one is, who is God to me? The one who loves me and has given His life, creator of the universe. What is He to you? Who is God to you? I just jotted a couple things down here To me, God is an eternal being. And so it's not like he's here today and gone tomorrow. It's not like he was here yesterday, gone tomorrow. He's not like he's not here yet. He's an eternal being. He always was, always will be. And so that gives me some comfort even in any type of storm I might face. See, the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscience, who God is. Who is God to me? He's dependable. He's trustworthy. He's compassion. He's full of mercy and grace. And he is in supreme authority. Just a few things that I jotted down that helps me to realize that when maybe I feel things are out of control and the storm is almost too much for me to bear, yet I can look to God because he's not moved by that storm in these areas that we mentioned, and you could mention more. He's still in supreme authority. He still has compassion and full of grace and mercy and truth, and he's dependable and trustworthy. He's an eternal being, creator of even the universe. And he's the one who loves me, and Jesus has given his life for me. And so those things don't change. The storm don't change those things. It's something we have. And so we need to have that riveted. Who is God to me? Now I'd like to just read a few verses that most of them I have written, jotted down here, that maybe help us to think about who God is as well, that give phrases in these verses to help us. It says, seeing God. So that's the point we're looking at, seeing God. Who is God to me? And we need to have that in our minds and rivet it in our minds and believe in that God. And it will help us to see God when we're in the thunderstorms. The first one I have is in Deuteronomy 20 verse 4, and it says this. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemy to save you. So the phrase I've highlighted in that verse is, he is to go with you. And so we're not facing anything alone in life. God says, I'm going to go with you. And so who is God to you? He is the one that will go with you. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So that's again kind of the same as the other one somewhat. He is going to go with you wherever you go. And so it doesn't matter really what you face, and what the storm, or how strong the storm, or how bad the thunder is crashing, or the lightning striking, God, whithersoever your experience is, God will be with you. And you will not feel that way if your focus is on the danger of the storm. But if your focus is on who God is to me, then you can feel strength in that storm. And a sense of peace in that storm. Job, was he a man that experienced some pretty heavy thunderstorms? I think pretty severe that was. A couple of tornadoes, maybe we could say. How he lost a lot of things, thinking about possessions, but even family. He lost. It was a tremendous loss for him. Seemed like that must have been a tornado that took about everything out, right? That must be the way about he felt. How depressing that must have been. But in Job 36:5, it says, behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. So his belief was that God, even though this was his experience in this tremendous tornado that he was experiencing, a thunderstorm, God is not despising him. He said, God is mighty and he despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. And so he had a belief in God there that helped him through all of this, that thunderstorm. And I think we do well to have the same. If you want to turn to one, you can turn to Psalm 62:8. 7 and 8, we'll read there. Psalm 62:7-8. Psalm 62, verse 7, it says, in God is my salvation. He is my defense. In verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Now we have a couple things to think about who God is. And the one that I have actually highlighted in relation to that was, God is my salvation. Salvation. I think that's an important one as well, as we see God in the thunderstorms of our lives. And I don't know what degree or how many thunderstorms you're presently experiencing or just came through, or I don't really know what any of us will face tomorrow. But we don't need to fear that. God is my salvation. He's my glory. He's the rock of my strength, and he's my refuge. And so if you are confident of that tonight, you can sleep in peace tonight. And don't worry about the thunderstorm that might be approaching that you're not even aware of. And Psalm 62 verse 8 then says, trust in him. The word trust stood out to me. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. We have that refuge part again there. But, you know, that refuge he is a refuge for us. But if you're going to benefit by that refuge, you need to trust him. Trust him is our decision to do. Trusting him at all times. And in the calm and in the storm. Psalm 84:11 says, for God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now, right off, when we think of thunderstorm, and you put in there whatever your experience you want to, that you would consider a thunderstorm, you say, well, it's not a good thing. But we have to remember that we don't always understand God's plans and purposes for things in our lives. But his thoughts are that they would establish peace in us. And sometimes it does take a thunderstorm to get us to find that peace, I believe. And so I think that's why God allows thunderstorms in our lives, is to get our attention and to understand him deeper and better. If we would not have any thunderstorms in our lives, wouldn't we possibly be like the children of Israel, living in a land of ease and milk and honey and forget God? And so seeing God in the thunderstorms of life, they're there for a purpose for us. 1 Corinthians 10:13, I thought of that verse as well. It says, for there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted with that till you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. The phrase I have in that verse highlighted is, God is faithful. God is faithful. He doesn't go to sleep and the storm slipped past. He doesn't went on vacation and forgot about you. God is faithful. He's faithful. And he is not going to allow anything to come to us that would hinder us. His desire is that it would strengthen us. 2 Corinthians 9:8 also says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound in every good work. And so there we see again, who is God to me? Do we have that question answered in our mind? That who he is to you is going to make a difference when you face the thunderstorm. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is God alone, and besides him there is no other God. God is love. 1 John 4:7. And I'd like to turn there and read two verses there in 1 John as we think about God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, behold, let us love one another, for God is of love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. The thought is there that, and this is still kind of referring to who God is to me, is God is love. And over in verse 18 then of chapter 4, it says, there is no fear in love. And so as we understand God and who God is to me, if he is love to me, then there's no fear in love. Now, I have to kind of think that many times in our lives, thunderstorms kind of bring a sense of apprehension and fear to us, that type of fear, that we just, we don't know what to do and where to go and where to find shelter, as it were. And it says here, we understand that God is love, and we, who God is to me, that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And so thunderstorms can be a torment to us if we don't have riveted in our minds who God is, because we're not going to be able to grasp God in the thunderstorm. We're going to feel tormented instead of fear tormenting us. That's going to be our experience. Instead of experiencing the hand of the loving Jesus, love extended to us is a thought I had here. And 2 Timothy 1:7 also says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And so there we have what God is desiring for us. Now, the next question I have is, do I see God in the calm? I think there's another kind of important one for us to think about a little bit, just briefly at least. Do I see God in the calm? And we're talking about seeing God in the thunderstorm, but if we aren't seeing God in the calm, I think prepares us for seeing God in the thunderstorm. If we forget about God when things are going sunshiny day and all ease in our lives, and we're just coasting along, as it were, with little effort, we're becoming weaker. And we're not strengthened and prepared for the thunderstorm. And so it's probably going to have a little different effect on us. So do I see God in the calm? When things are going well and the day is sunny, do I remember God? Every day we need to remember that God has provided salvation for me. It's just one part that we need to remember, but I think it's an important one. As we every day remember that the love of God has given me Jesus, and I can receive forgiveness of my sins and be acceptable in his sight. That behooves us to walk with God. And as we walk with God, the thunderstorms aren't going to be our focus. It's going to be the love of God to me. And so that's why I want us to remember God in the calm and remember that part, that I am a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is the gift of God, as Ephesians tells us, and we know that. And so let's remember to see God every day of our lives, even in the calm. Today's afternoon was a very beautiful day, afternoon, wasn't it? Sun felt good, warm. I mean, it just made you feel good, regardless maybe how you felt when it was wintertime. It just has an effect on us. But, you know, let's remember God in those times in our lives too, when things are going well. The need to remember God in the calm. 1 John 5:12-13 says this, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The word know there, I guess, is what I was kind of highlighting, that even in the calm, we need to be reminded and know that we have eternal life because of our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we only think about that when we think we're nearing death, when the thunderstorm is beating on us or something like that. And then we say, oh, what about our life? But in the calm, we don't think about it as much. I'm feeling well. Things are going fine. Minimum conflicts for me this day. And we almost forget about God. But we need to remember and know in our heart that it's just as important to walk with God today as it is when I feel like I need him, when the winds are beating in my life. And so that's prepared for that time. Walk with God in the calm and know him. The next one, question I had here is, what are you depending on? What are you depending on? And this is maybe tied in a little with the calm as well, but what you build on gives the outcome after the storm. And I thought of that in relation to the wise and the foolish man. You know, we kind of know that story. And we look there in Matthew, and Jesus gave that illustration about people building there. And, you know, the wise man and the foolish man, we know what the outcome was. And when the rains came down and the storms descended and the winds blew, we had a crash on the one. And we have one built on solid rock. And so what a difference. Now, that's an example to us what can happen with one that is building wisely in the calm, right? They weren't building when the storm was beating. They were building before that. They were building before that. So it's important, the things that are going on in your life, the music you're listening to, the things you're receiving into your life is what you're building on. And so guard that a little bit. I mean, I sure hope you're not feeding lavishly on the news. That's not going to build so much strength for you. But on the Word of God, building on Jesus Christ. And we need to do that in the calm. And I think that illustration kind of gives that out to us. What you build on contributes to the outcome of the storm. Matthew 15, and I don't want to really take this out of context here, but Matthew 15 just gives us a thought here that I thought maybe would somewhat apply to this. In Matthew 15, verse 10, 11, and maybe verse 13, Jesus here had a message for the disciples, and he was kind of saying, this kind of goes with what you build on. He was kind of saying, here he said, hear and understand, verse 10, verse 11 of Matthew 15, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. And then verse 13, Jesus said, every tree which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And so sometimes maybe storms come our way to root out the plants that shouldn't be planted in our lives. Maybe that's the case sometimes. But the thought here was kind of the same thought about what we're building on in our lives. What we receive in our lives is going to either strengthen us or hinder us or defile us, as it were here. And he says, every plant that the Heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted out. And I think sometimes God allows thunderstorms to refine us. But I do not believe that God allows thunderstorms in our lives. They are not designed to destroy, but to strengthen. Something you want to always remember. They're not designed to destroy, but strengthen. Like the tree by the rivers of water, like Psalm 1 talks about. What gave the strength for the tree by the rivers of water? Meditating on the Word of God, right? In his thought, I meditate day and night. And then you're going to be like the tree that's rooted and grounded and strengthened for the storm. Because they're going to come. And so what type of storm and when they're going to come, we don't always know. Just if you're in Matthew 14, I'd like to read that passage there as maybe... thinking about seeing God in the storm. It's an experience that the disciples had there on the water. And maybe just draw a couple thoughts out of that, Jeff. Matthew 14, verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into his ship and to go before him and unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when even was come, he was there alone. But that his ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. Now this is referring to, obviously, a natural storm here. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the water. So I guess this was somewhere between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. Jesus went to find them out on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were troubled, saying, "Is it a spirit?" And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered and said unto him, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter was come down out of the ship, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they had come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And just a couple thoughts out of this here yet about finding God, seeing God in the thunderstorm. You know, storms kind of fight against peace and rest and security, don't they? You think about a true natural thunderstorm, or maybe even a thunderstorm like maybe we mentioned experiences in your life that seem like thunderstorms to shake you or trouble you. They kind of fight against peace, rest, and security. And a man in himself is troubled and fearful. And so that's why we do need to see God in these times in our lives. And the thing we need to remember is that in the eye of every storm, there's a center of peace, and that's Jesus. Jesus is in every eye of the storm of your life. I think we can say that. And so it doesn't matter what kind of, how large or how bad the tornado is or the thunderstorm is in your life, look to the eye. Right there is where the winds are calm, right in the eye. And while the winds are circulating at mighty speeds, maybe around that, Jesus is in the eye of every storm. So always remember that. When you face a storm in your life, when you face a severe trial in your life, whatever that might be, maybe slanderous words flying at you like it feels like 50 mile an hour wind or 100 mile an hour, a hurricane or whatever. Jesus is at the eye. You want to come to the eye. You want to come to the eye. You know, Peter was headed there, and he lost faith in Jesus, didn't he? And he said, "I'm sinking. I'm being torn apart. I'm sinking. I'm going down." Jesus is right there. "Here's my hand." I think Jesus offers that to all of us in the storms of our life. God allows, maybe we could ask the question, another question maybe, why storms? I believe God allows storms to get our attention. You know, these disciples here could have said, they could have felt like Jesus told them to go, right? They did what Jesus said to do. And here they're experiencing this contrary wind. Can you imagine? They're probably out there just rowing again, all they could row. And I don't know what they were doing. I suppose they were expending all the energy they had. I don't really know. It doesn't really give that detail here, but you can only imagine that, you know. And they weren't getting anywhere, and this was boisterous, and they were probably desperate, bailing out water, doing everything they could possibly think of. And they were still experiencing this storm. And there they were. And they could have said, you know, "Jesus told us to come out here. Why did he tell us to do that?" They could have blamed Jesus for that. Or they could have blamed somebody else or fellow brothers there or whatever. But instead, what they needed to do is look to the eye of the storm. And that was approaching them here. And sometimes we experience storms for God to show us that he is the Prince of Peace. There is peace with him when we allow him, or when we grasp his hand, to manifest his power to us, I think, in a spiritual sense. Is another reason he might allow storms into our lives, to remind us that Jesus is greater than any storm. You know, if you wouldn't have a storm, you would never encounter that understanding, would you? But when we have a storm in our lives, then we need to sit back and we need to look to the eye of the storm and feel the hand of Jesus. He's greater than any storm. Maybe it's some kind of hurt, criticism, etc., so on, that you might feel like it's a storm in your life. It's very stormy. Jesus would probably say, grasp your hand and say, just forgive. Just forgive. Follow me. And that's seeing God in the storm. You know, these disciples here, fear was kind of came on there. They were troubled. In verse 26, it says, and they cried out for fear. Now, that was in relation to fear of what they saw, not knowing what it was. But there was fear there. And Jesus said, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. But I think the thunderstorms sometimes can bring fear into our lives, which prevents a trust in a sovereign God. And that is going to be quite a mighty severe storm in your life if you allow fear to dominate your life. And it simply prevents a trust in a sovereign God and seeing God in the thunderstorm. Jesus says, come unto me. He said here in this passage, come, come, just trust me. Just trust me. And Peter said, all right, I'm coming, Lord. And he went. You know, it wasn't long till he lost that trust in Jesus, maybe, or that faith in him. And he started sinking, and he needed the hand of Jesus. Peter, you have such little faith. You need a stronger faith in me. And so if it wouldn't have been for that physical storm here in this sense, or the natural storm here, you know, they might have not learned that lesson, that they need to have a stronger faith in. So there's a reason God allows us to have thunderstorms, as it were, in our lives. I had to think about this a little bit. Sometimes, just as to illustrate a little bit, I was thinking about sometimes a dad might go on a little walk outside with their smaller children. And you know, if it's daylight and that child is probably, let's just say, 5 feet away from you, probably not a big deal. They feel at peace, you feel at peace, you can see each other, you're right, you know, it's you feel like you're close, you're right there, not a problem, nice walk. Now, just suppose that the sun isn't shining and the dark storm clouds are there, or just say, let's say now you're going walking in the dark, and you have the same scenario. You know, that child might kind of get a little fearful. Hey, Dad, where are you? You know, did you ever take your children a walk? They're like, hey, where are you, Dad? You know, it was dark. They couldn't see you. And is that the way it is sometimes in our lives, maybe? On the sunny day, well, we could mosey along without Dad's hand. But, you know, when it was dark, Dad, where are you? And they just kind of they had to find Dad. And when they could feel Dad's hand, everything was all right. There was no fear there, no trembling there. It's okay. But you know, when it was in the calm, or when it was in the day, light, that 5 feet away, they felt just as calm. And so you see what the storm did, or the darkness did? It brought them closer to the Father. And so I think sometimes that's why God allows thunderstorms into our lives, to draw us closer to Him. Draw us closer. It might be just kind of like going on that walk with your child in the dark. And God is right there. He's right there. And just seeing God is just simply reaching out and grasping the Father's hand, the promises He has in His Word, who God is. And so God allows storms, I think, sometimes for that desire of His to us to trust in Him and to just simply grasp His hand and let Him lead us through the storm in peace. You know, Jesus here, he came there, and when Jesus got to them, there was a calm. Now, I had to wonder how, you know, the storm didn't seem to affect Jesus, did it? The disciples, they were turmoiling out, they were striving out there, there was boisterous winds, there was trouble, they were troubled, there was some fear there. Jesus was right there, but yet when Jesus actually got there, as it were, you know, and took their hand, there was a calm. Now, you don't really read that Jesus, that storm was affecting Jesus at all. And so I like to think, you know, that's just like our Heavenly Father. He's in control. He's always at peace, right? No storm is out of His control. And so He's like that Father. He's right here and for us, with us, right here, right now. Storms are only kind of a testimony of a God who cares about you. That might be a little hard to understand sometimes in the storm. But, you know, God cared about them here. He granted them peace, calmness of the storm, took away their fears, as it were. Is Jesus at the center of your life? You know, God is here, now, with us. And it'll be the same when you leave this building. And it's something for us to remember. Thinking of that little walk. So when the start, when the clouds get thick and the darkness seems to creep in a little, just step closer to the Father. Feel His tender love. Read His word. Pray to Him. Isn't that what they did here then? The outcome was when they actually, as it were, stepped closer to the Father. What did they do? Verse 32, they came to the ship. You know, the trouble kind of ceased. The fear kind of was calmed. And they're in the ship, they bowed, they worshiped Him. Truly, you are a good Father. Truly, this is the Son of God. And that's seeing God in a thunderstorm, as it were. Just remember that storms are only for a limited time here, especially in this life, that some of the troubles and trials and storms we face. Trust in God today and experience joy in Jesus. Storms today produce growth tomorrow. It's something I thought about. I think many times storms are designed or come our way at times to today to produce growth tomorrow. And Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. And just a reminder in 2 Corinthians 4 yet, that says this. I'll just read a verse or two there. That we are only here for a time, right? 1 Corinthians 4, it says this, For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment. These thunderstorms are going to pass. Working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I believe in God, even though I can't see Him. So may this be a stepping stone in your life, and I trust God can use His word to help us see God in the thunderstorms and their purposes for us. Thank you.